By the way, did anybody bring their kids? It's a family service tonight. Okay, there's two little ones up front. Four. Okay, five, six. Okay, because tonight's going to, I tried my best to make it kind of adult and kid-like at the same time. It's going to be a little bit shorter, but I hope meaningful as we prepare our hearts for tomorrow. And why is tomorrow important? We come upon a unique, listen everybody, because I know other nations have Thanksgiving Day. Our good friends to the north, Canada, they have a Thanksgiving Day. And that's great for the Canadians. We love them. But they don't have our day. It's a Christian holiday. It is 100% uniquely Christian tomorrow. So listen, you need to know that. And you need to turn off the news or stop reading bozo websites that try to convince you otherwise, because those are just people angry and bummed that they don't have a holiday, so they're trying to ruin yours too, I guess. I don't know. But it is the really true, one and only, unique American holy day that we have. And tonight we'll know a little bit about that. But before we do that, I'm going to ask you to put your eyes to the screen. We'll read out of the New King James, of course, version of the Bible, Psalm 150, the 150th Psalm on this Thanksgiving. And I'm going to read verse 1. If you'll read the odd numbered, I'll read the odd numbered verses. If you'll read the even, we'll just read through. It's a very short psalm, but it's very powerful. And are you guys ready for this? Because you're really quiet tonight. Can you do this? Okay. Psalm 150, I'll begin in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. I thought it was going to be on the screens. Okay, then I'll read it. Sorry, my bad. Verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Verse 3 says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is an intense psalm. You can tell that it's loud, it's passionate, and it flows right out of the heart and out of the mouth of one who is waiting and delighted to praise the Lord. Very quickly, worship and praise. You ever heard those two words used together? Worship and praise. Are they the same thing? Absolutely not. Interesting. Worship is something that can take place where, for example, you're standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon. You don't sing. You don't express anything. You stand there in an overwhelming awe strikes you of God's greatness. And just your awareness of that is absolutely an act of worship. When you study the Bible, did you know that Bible study is an act of worship to God? There are many manifestations of worship. And certainly when we gather together, there's an element of worship when we come together. But praise is something that is very expressive. Praise is loud. Praise is enthusiastic. Praise is something that is powerful to spread through the ranks of God's people. Where praise breaks forth. Praise is very, very evident in times of revival. When revival breaks out, there are records of praise taking place where people supernaturally, as it were, prompted by God, praise him for what he has just done or what he has been glorified or taught about doing. And so let's pray together right now, Father, in this time of Thanksgiving season. Lord, we pray right now in this message together that you'd speak to us from your word, that we'd have a greater appreciation. And Lord, that we would be a people that would nurture in our hearts thanksgiving, praise, worship, that we would be more thankful tonight. And I mean this, and I'm sure you mean it, Lord, that with all that's gone on in our world, we would choose to be praisers and worshipers. And that's a decision that we are to make. So, Father, Even this night before tomorrow's sanctified day, tomorrow's dedicated day, that we would right now begin to nurture a heart of praise, worship, and thanksgiving. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Let everything that has breath is how it ends. Yeah, praise the Lord. Who would have thought? Remember a year ago, Thanksgiving 2019? I don't. Probably because it was basically non-eventful. It was a pretty lackluster year as 2019 went, where things were pretty status quo. And now we've come into this year, and all of a sudden, and you've experienced this, where you become thankful and grateful, and small things that become praiseworthy, have they not? Where you have been, I mean, I don't say this to be crude or to be odd, but you and I remembered literally getting to a store where they had a few rolls of toilet paper left. Do you remember that this year? And all of a sudden, things were reduced to simplicity. And we became very grateful. For the simple things. And in many ways, our hearts were challenged and touched. But who would have thought? And now we come at a time like this, and people in this nation have either become very bitter and angry. You can see that. You can sense that in the rhetoric of so many people. Or people have become more sensitive toward God, more open toward God, more thankful, and more prone to praise Him. And that's a choice you make. And it's a choice I trust we're making. This year, we have endured things that are unnatural for us. Things that are, I think, this is my opinion, meaningless because they're not scientific. But we've been told to do them. We were told, first of all, that if you social distance, you'd be fine. And then we were told you got a social distance, but you got to cover your face. And all of the things that started out as us being willing to cooperate for the general good turned out to be things that quickly went strange. And it's just continued to unfold. And now we're in a time, as we mentioned on Sunday, that people are now being told again, stay at home. No Thanksgiving. No Christmas. It's too dangerous. And I think that's a form of insanity to say that. And I'm not being funny. What are we afraid of? Getting sick? And now the numbers. While nobody is telling you the number of people sick with the flu. They can't tell you that. Everybody's got COVID. Nobody's got the flu anymore. What's going on? And then, in some cases, it is reported that if you get a flu shot and go across town and get a COVID test, you'll be positive because that can run in the same family of detection. It depends on what they're using. What's going on? Well, I thank God, as you do, that God is on His throne and that Jesus Christ and the world that you and I are living in is not the world that He not only had planned for us, hallelujah, it's not the world that He has planned for us, because there's a day coming when the Lord will set things right. But we need to be strong, and we need to be thankful, and we need to nurture that. All of us in our lives need to determine to be thankful and to be a people that praise Him in the most difficult situations. I want to run through this psalm, and I want it to be maybe tomorrow's. You're with family. You're going to be with family tomorrow, aren't you? And you're going to be with people? You're going to pack out your house? Are you? Yes? Yep. In Psalm 150, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. The word praise right here is God's word telling us to shine. The Hebrew word means to shine. It means to flash or to boast. That's an interesting statement. Boast. Yeah, there's a boasting in the Lord, and there's a boasting of God when it comes to praise. Praise the Lord. It means to shout forth and to put forward or to put out in public your expression of God. It means that when we come together, we worship God expressively. Now, I know that this is a church where there's all kinds of denominations represented in our Bible studies, and that's beautiful. It's a little bit of heaven, in my opinion. All kinds of ethnicities and economic levels and races represented in this church. Sample of heaven. But there's a few things that bring us together, and we're all, as humans, redeemed by God to be the same, sort of the same, and that is worship and praise. And I know that many of you, how you've been brought up, people next to you will raise your hand in singing and worship, and you're a little nervous about that. It's like, what is going on there? And yet it's a biblical thing. And we need to be not distracting and not odd or strange about worshiping God, but there needs to be some passion. And I thank God for you and your passion. And that's biblical. That's a Bible word, that when we praise Him, that we are expressing the great hallels of God, the praises of God. And then in verse 1, it continues. It says, praise God in His sanctuary. And that word sanctuary, we often think of the word sanctuary as a building. And it can be, but it's really a sanctuary only when you show up, right? You do know that. That if we have church on the side of a hill, it's not a church until you show up. Why is that so? When it says praise God in His sanctuary, the word is praise Him where He's been set apart. A person, place, or thing that has been consecrated. A person, place, or thing that is holy, sanctified, dedicated. A prepared place. A prepared person or a prepared thing. So it can be this building when we show up. It simply becomes a vehicle where we are praising God. In my life, in my body, my physical body, we determine. It's funny, I just entered my mind just before coming out here. I was talking to a man who is, I'll just say that he's a very skilled boxer, a real boxer. And he'd made mention that he had no problem beating people up, and then he became a Christian, and it really affected his boxing. And we talked about how true that is in the life of a Christian. I just don't believe Christians can just continue to destroy someone's body, even if it's in a ring, because you know inside, all of a sudden, now I'm going after a person, a human that's been created in the image of God. And the Bible tells us that we are in our bodies. This is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit as a believer. Isn't that amazing? Your body. So when it says praise Him in the sanctuary or His sanctuary, I like to leave the interpretation of that a little open. Praise Him in His sanctuary. It can certainly be this building. It can be your house. It can be your car. It certainly is your body, isn't it? And I'm thankful that when God saves us and redeems us, I'm thankful that He takes all of us. C.S. Lewis warns every non-believer who's thinking about coming to Christ. He says, watch out, because if you give God an inch, He'll take a mile. He says, if you give Him an ounce, He'll take a pound. I like that. Our God, when you just open the door of your heart of willingness toward Him, He just knocks the door down. He comes in, He brings in, rearranges the furniture, cleans up the house, tears up the carpet, puts in new flooring, changes the way the windows are, washes them up, fixes them up, changes your life. It's what He does. It's absolutely awesome. And I'm grateful. I'm thankful to God for that. And so I want to praise Him in my sanctuary, my body. And then He says in verse 1, praise Him in His mighty firmament. I like this. Firmament. The word means sky, starry sky. The word means from the surface of the horizon up towards the heaven's expanse. Whatever the human eye can see at ground level up. It means the atmosphere. It means up into the heavens or the visible heavens. What an awesome thing that is. What a meaning. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. What does that mean? It says, praise Him in that firmament that's His. How does that happen? If I were an astronaut, I would make sure I have that verse maybe written on my helmet. What does it mean? Praise him in his starry firmament. It certainly means, as that Hebrew word says, from the ground up. So you and I praise him in our immediate atmosphere, do we not? But isn't it interesting that when you and I pray, when you and I worship and praise, or we know from the Bible, when a sinner is forgiven of their sins and they become a believer. Does anybody know what happens in heaven when we pray, praise, worship, and someone accepts Christ? What happens? Angels, exactly. Angels rejoice in heaven. And when we pray, we can be right now at Pacific time, West Coast, but when we pray, it's instantly heaven time. That prayer goes instantly to heaven. That's an amazing thought if you think about it. You can actually connect with heaven in your thoughts, prayer, praise, worship, salvation. That's worshiping him, praising him in his mighty firmament, the starry heavens above. Verse 2 tells us that praise him for his mighty acts. I thank God for his mighty acts, even in the midst of all the stuff that's going on in our world. As painful as it is, sicknesses come and go. This world is sold, the Bible says, under sin. Think about that. This world, everything that you and I hate about this world, God hates. Think about that. Murder, abuse, pain, sickness, sorrow. God hates that stuff. A lot of people today want to blame God because the world is so messed up. Excuse me? Read his book. He turns that finger around that you're pointing at his nose, and he points it right at you. Points it at me. Our mom and dad, Adam and Eve, did this. He said, yeah, we need to get them. We need to bring them in here. Listen, remember, they were perfect and they sinned. You and I would have done the exact same thing. I think that's somewhat what Jesus meant when he said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. In that setting, think about it. There's only one who can throw stones. And I thank God he hasn't thrown any stones because he's the only one who could. My goodness. I praise him for his mighty acts. The word here, mighty acts, the word in Hebrew means strength, mighty power, awesome deeds, and his interventions, plural. God steps in. And exposes things. God steps in and shows things. Yeah. As a church, I mentioned this recently. We need to figure out how to do this. How do we take a field trip, all of us? Is it something that we just do independently, one family at a time? Or do we just actually organize something? Wouldn't it be insane? If we packed up, so to speak, and went out to Joshua Tree National Monument and got out there, you go out there and there's no lights and you see the stars at the horizon all the way over to the other side. And you would have to say, great and mighty are your works, O God. Those kinds of things. The raging of the sea, the ocean. Have you ever been, I know it's Southern California, but we do have some big mountains and sometimes it snows. Have you ever been in a good snowstorm?
Yes.
Have you noticed one of the attributes of a snowstorm? It's quite shocking. When it's really still and it's snowing, or after a snow and you step outside, you know what shocks you in an instant? Is the silence.
Yes.
Did you know that when it snows, it's very, very hard to hear anything because the snowflakes absorb all the surrounding ambient sound waves? Snow is what's known as a dampener. It just captures the wave, and it's quiet, and there's a hush, and you praise God. The Bible says, praise him according to his excellent greatness. That word Excellent greatness is a compound word. The word first part of it, excellent, is rab, and it means much, many, great, abounding, numerous, plentiful. Of what? Of gadal. That means unfolding, ongoing. Listen to this. Advancing, becoming, magnificence, flowing, happening. His greatness. God's greatness is unfolding. I think that's a little hint about eternity. We're not going to be in heaven and after about 1,000 years say, man, I don't know about you, but I think I've seen this street before. No way. Listen, his eternity and his glory is going to keep unfolding. I was going to say every day, but the Bible tells us it's the day of God. Eternity is one day. Timeless. Forever. Remarkable. And we're going to see his excellent greatness. Then the Bible tells us, verse 3 here, that praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Now, I don't know, we wouldn't like trumpets here in the praise service. But have you ever been to, like in Israel, they'll have a worship service and they'll break out with horns and stuff blowing them. It's not our thing in our culture, but they love it. And we mentioned dance a moment ago, and I'll read it again in our study here tonight. But in Israel, how many of you have been to Israel, by the way? Raise your hand. Okay, that's got to change. You got to go. And one of the beautiful things is on the evening of Shabbat, on Friday evening, you can hear people singing and shouting, and they're definitely celebrating. And what do you see? You see the students of the scriptures. They'll have their phylactery on and their prayer shawl, and they're locked shoulder to shoulder, and they're dancing, and they're dancing down to the Wailing Wall. And everybody gets out of the way, and they're singing, and they praise the Lord, and they pray, and then watch this, because they believe that God is in that spot where God once would occupy the temple, that you never turn your back on that spot. And when they sing, and when they're all done praying and all, they sing, and they sing, and they go backwards singing, because they will not put their backside to the place where God once resided on earth because of respect. Isn't that beautiful? But it's really lively, noisy, lively. I think it's awesome. It's a beautiful thing. What about you and your moment of exuberance? I can't believe that word just came out of my mouth. Exuberance. That's one of John Adams' favorite words, exuberance. He wrote that word a lot. Exuberance. So what does that word mean? Absolutely enthusiastic, joy expressed. Our God is awesome. Have you forgotten that you're going to heaven? Listen, those of you who are born-again believers, your name is written down in heaven, you know it. This is as close to hell as we'll ever get right here in this world. Listen, for some people who don't know Christ, this is the closest they'll ever get to heaven. I'm glad that your future in Christ is bright. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. The word sound of the trumpet, sound is to blast and to blow, to drive with force. Verse 3 says, praise him with the lute and the harp. Listen to all these instruments now, the lute and the harp. Verse 4 says, praise him with the timbrel and dance. Verse 4 goes on to say, praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. I'll comment on this in a moment. And then he says, praise him with clashing cymbals. If loud wasn't enough, God says, do some clashing. What is that? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, he says. And you think about that. Listen, it happens. It's just the way it is. It happens, I'm sure, in every church. It happens every so often, very often, actually. When someone will say, Pastor, we're new here. Love it. We're just wondering, are the drums always on the stage? No, I'm serious. Or we enjoyed our time today, but are there any services that do not have instruments? That it's just a cappella, no instruments at all. No, we don't have that. We could, but we don't. Maybe we will. Maybe someday, I don't know. But no. And every time, people, I'll cite Psalm 150 every time. So we don't think drums are godly. Guitars are from Satan. I think we should break out the lutes, the harps, the timbrels, the dance, the stringed instruments, the flutes, the loud cymbals, and then the clashing cymbals. I don't know about you, but clashing cymbals, those are the things you might see at the Hollywood Bowl when the guy goes like that and it scares you and your popcorn goes everywhere. That's scary, but God goes, I like it. God likes it. Does that offend you? You know the Bible tells us in Zephaniah, I need to end this, I need to hurry up. You know the Bible tells you in Zephaniah that when you and I are in heaven, that the Lord, it says in Zephaniah that the Lord will come to us and he will sing. So I want to ask you, what do you think God's voice sounds like? And it says that he will twirl. The word in Hebrew is to twirl about or to spin about you. Does that sound irreverent to you? I got to tell you, that's a big deal. That's a tough one. Because don't you view God sometimes as this sterile, white silhouette? And I understand the glory of all of that. I get it. I agree. But that's not accurate. Because when this is all over and we're in heaven with him, it's family time. Judgment will have been over. The earth is no more as we know it. God's on his throne and he walks among his people and they are redeemed. And Zephaniah says he's going to sing. When he sees you, he's going to sing and he's going to twirl about you with rejoicing. That God is going to say, Jack, you made it. Woo-hoo! I had some doubts there for a while, Jack. No, I'm kidding. But no, because he's mighty to save. He saves. How are we going to relate to him? How is it that Moses, God says, I speak to Moses like a man speaks to his friend face to face. Listen, we're going to see and feel and experience more than that. And then he ends by saying, praise the Lord. Powerful. Well, tomorrow, we're going to celebrate the 400th Thanksgiving of this experiment called America. Tomorrow will be the 400th. That's pretty amazing, you guys. You should be thankful for that. 400 years. 400 years. I'm going to ask you, you guys take a look at this image of the Mayflower Compact. I want you to just look at that. It's almost impossible for you to read from where you're at, but that's okay. Listen to this. Just the other day on November 11th, 400 years ago, on November 11th, before the pilgrims and the investors of the Virginia Company stepped off the Mayflower ship onto Plymouth, or what would become Plymouth, the Christians on board crafted a governing document. It was the forerunner to the Declaration of Independence. It's technically our nation's actual birth certificate. And here it is. And by the way, any of you who have been molested by college or university doctrines that America is not a Christian nation, I want you to listen. Real subtle how it begins. In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subject of our dread sovereign Lord, King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc., having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith and honor of our King and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. They thought they were in Virginia. Do by these present solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid that by virtue hereafter to enact, constitute and frame such just and equal laws, ordinance, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience in witness thereof. We have hereunder subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the year of the reign of our sovereign Lord King James of England, France, Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th, Anno Dom 1620. And then they all signed it. And from that statement, from those few paragraphs, became the structure of all laws that came into being in what is now called the United States, from that one piece of paper. That. No other nation on earth can boast that. No other nation. I want to run through these things. We're not far away from closing. I want you to think about this. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Maybe we should, maybe we can dim the lights for effect just a little bit. I want you to look at that for a second. Just dwell there for a moment, you guys. Slow down, slow down, slow down. Look at that. What's the sound of that? The power of that. And God mentions in his word that those the raging of the seas, he governs them. And he tells the sea, you can go so far up on the shore, no more beyond that. I've set a boundary for you. God says that. The power of that. Is our God awesome? Listen, let's be honest. If we'd never seen that before, we'd all be freaking out. But you know, this is like routine. It's like, oh, well, that's cool. Have we not become almost callous and numb to his goodness? Would you, listen, wouldn't you rather be looking at that right now than be confined to some prison cell somewhere in the world? Yes. Although his power is everywhere. Next image. Oh, look at this. Okay, are you kidding me? Okay, first of all, I want to know how they built that thing. What'd they do? How did they do that? Think of that. Look at that storm. This is the North Atlantic. Look at that. Next slide. Wow, it's still there. Next slide. Did he know that was coming? Are you kidding me? Have you been to like Niagara? Anybody? Yeah. Or giant waves, 20, 30 foot waves in Hawaii. Have you seen those? They hit the ground and the ground shakes and the palm trees move. What about this? Did that guy know? What did he know? His first of all, who took the picture? Obviously, it's got to be a helicopter, I'm guessing. Zooming in on that guy. He's got his hands in his pocket. He's not even ready to swim. He couldn't have known it was coming, I don't think. Could you imagine the guy in the helicopter? I wish Bill would answer his phone. Man, there's a whopper coming. Next slide. Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. By the way, I don't know about you guys, but we have big, bushy, not ground squirrels. We have big, bushy-tailed squirrels in our yard. And have you ever seen them? They actually do that. They'll just do that, just stretch it. That's why I had to put that picture up here. Because that's not our squirrels. Ours are gray and yellowish, but they do that. They do that. What's he thinking? I think he's praising the Lord. Let everything has breath praise the Lord. Next slide. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. He's probably praying for ice or something to come. But... Next slide. Yeah. That's probably taken in your backyard, that picture. Next slide. Listen to you. No, I think that's fantastic. You ever think about these things? The images of these things? Why did God do this? Did God have to make these things? We could have lived without them. Why'd he give them to us? Because he's good. He's good. Next slide. Oh, Hubble. This is Hubble. Images from the Hubble telescope. Can you imagine? Next slide. These are real, by the way. These are not fake. This is the Hubble. God says that because, listen, remember, he's spirit. He's not physical. We look at that, we have to measure it from end to end. It's a zillion light years across. It's impossible for us to even begin to think. God says, oh, by the way, see all that stuff out there that you can see? I contain that in the span of my hand. Now, it doesn't mean that God is gigantic. It means that he's spirit. Don't compare apples to oranges, so to speak, right? To him, this is nothing. He spits these things out, so to speak, in his genius. He can move his finger and the heavens are shaken. I'd always, when I look at that, I always wonder how little I know and entertain the love of God and how much I need to. Because listen, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, came and died on the cross to die once and for all for our sins. Jesus is never going to die again. Ever. He did that once. And in all of the universes that are out there, I don't think one moment about life on other planets. I don't even think about it. I don't have to. Because the creator of it all died right here. He's not going to die anywhere else. I don't care what's out there. He knows. And I know him. That's all that matters. Remember, the God that created died here on this little blue ball. Next slide. Wow. By the way, see the blue at the top? I think if I remember right, some of you can look this up later. I think that's the Whirlpool Galaxy. Possibly. By the color and by the brilliance that's at the top. Brilliant. Next image. That's called the X structure in the Whirlpool Galaxy. You can look it up later. Don't believe the image. I know what you're thinking. That's not Photoshop. You can go to NASA.gov. website and type in X structure of the Whirlpool Galaxy. That is actually for real. That's an actual photograph from the Hubble, and it looks like a cross. What's that all about? Next slide. That's not fake. Go look it up. I know what you're thinking. Hey, that's Photoshop. Go to NASA, check it out. Next slide. That's it. Okay, I want to end with this. I want to end with this. And we're going to come out and worship now. I want you to listen to this. Tomorrow, on October 3rd, 1789, this is what was written. New York City, the 3rd of October, 1789. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the mighty signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them in an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of the great and glorious being, capital B, who is the benefit author of all that good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for this kind care and protection of the people of this country, previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war. He's talking about the Revolutionary War. For the great decree of tranquility, union, and plenty, which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and our happiness. These guys knew real English. It's hard for us to understand some of these words and structure, but, and particularly the national one now lately instituted. That's referring to the Constitution. For the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have acquired and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors for which we have been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may then unite in most humble offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing, listen to this, to all people by constantly being a government of wise and just and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executing and obeying, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness toward us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion, listen, and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a decree of temporal prosperity as alone knows to be best, given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789, George Washington. Is that awesome statement? So church, listen, I'm going to ask you to stand right now if you would. And as we close out in our worship, we need to think about this tonight. We need to give him thanks and praise and worship, because we among all people on earth should be so thankful. Because listen, watch out. We could be suckered into all the bad news. We can be programmed by bad news. I'm encouraging you now in this day and age to just turn it off, to open up the Word of God, and to become disciplined worshipers and praisers of him for his marvelous, wonderful benefits. Lord, I pray that this church, these people, and all freedom-loving people from shore to shore, from border to border, God, that you would pour out your spirit of renewal upon our nation, revival among and within the church. And Father, as our nation is on the ropes, as it were, on the brink of catastrophe, that Lord, out of heaven you would send hope. Out of heaven you would send, Lord, a stay from your hand of righteous judgment. God, that from heaven you would disperse upon this nation favor once again. God, in our thankfulness, our hearts are heavy because we're sinners and we've sinned against you, but our faith is encouraged. You're on your throne and we turn to you. And even now in our praise and worship, we offer you this offering as Washington asked of us as a people, our praise and thanksgiving to you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Let's praise him now in Jesus' name.